Welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible humans. I have with me Cicero Holmes and Juliana Coughlin. Hello, friends.
Hello.
We've already started with our drinking game podcast. I'm drunk now. All right. Well, you've done it, Kathy.
We nailed it. We're done. Thank you for listening. You can find us. Oh, wait, we got to do the actual podcast in the middle. Okay, cool. I would love to get to know both of you a little bit better if you can tell me where everyone can find you on the internet.
Well, I am Cicero Holmes. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stubby Stan, not Stabby Stan. That's a different guy. Very different content, but I am Stubby Stan. And you can also find me in your ears on the Incomparable Network on various episodes on this very here network, as well as the Test Your Might video game podcast, basically kind of like a video game debate show. Kind of like, the Sunday Beltway shows or ESPN's First Take, something like that, where we take topics and we debate them in the video game space. And that you can find on the 90s First Network, at the 90s First, and all your favorite podcatchers. I am also one of four hosts of the Discovery Debrief podcast, where we talk about Star Trek Discovery and all of the new Star Trek, actually all of the old Star Trek shows, but especially the new Star Trek. We're in like the golden age of Trek right now. There's like six shows on television.
Really?
So we talk about all of the Star Trek shows. There are a lot. There's Star Trek Discovery. There's Picard. There's Lower Decks. There is coming up soon, the show with the original Enterprise with Captain Pike, whose name escapes me right now. But there's Section 31, and there is a Janeway animated show coming to Nickelodeon and Paramount Plus. So there are lots and lots of Star Trek, and we want to talk about all of it, and we want all of you to listen to it. So you can see us, you can check us out at DSC Debrief on Twitter, or your favorite podcatcher, Discovery Debrief.
I've already...
Now I'm starting to see why we were paired together, because you clearly are some kind of nerd, and I definitely am some kind of nerd.
And I love every minute of it. All right, Juliana, tell me all about your nerdiness.
Yes, so I'm Juliana. Personally, you can find me at Jeliana_runs on Instagram. I don't really use Twitter. It's so confusing. But for podcasting things, I have two podcasts, and they are both independent podcasts. The first one is called Puffcast, which is a Harry Potter podcast because we are two Hufflepuffs creating a very positive and happy Harry Potter space. We call it your Harry Potter happy place. And it's me and my best friend Mel talking about all things Harry Potter, deep diving into topics, pondering what if. We actually just did an episode using the premise of the new Marvel What If TV show, but in the Harry Potter world. And we have some really fun guests on. We even had a Death Eater. Woohoo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the guy who's in the seventh movie who stops the train, John Campling. We just had him on recently.
Awesome.
Nice.
Much nicer in person than he is as a Death Eater, I will say.
Oh, all right.
Good to know.
Yes. But my other podcast is called Into the Fold, and it is a Grishaverse podcast. So I don't know if either of you have seen the new Netflix show, Shadow and Bone.
Yes, and
no,
read the books as well.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay. So, Sergio, you're not really... It's a YA universe of books, and they've turned the first one slash the fourth one kind of into a TV show on Netflix, and it's a great TV show. Even if you don't have context for the books, I would say go watch it if you love nerdy, geeky fandom stuff like that.
All right.
I this is a rare instance where I like the adaptation better than the books.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I know. Strong stance here.
That's a hot take.
Out the box.
I like how they've woven both the book series together.
Yes.
And I find it way more interesting because it is fairly full of, you know, traditional tropes, which there is nothing wrong with that. I freaking love romance novels because of that. Yeah. Like, which tropes can you pick? But I like that it interweaves it in such a way that makes you really interested in what's kind of going on as a whole. And I thought it was really smart how they did that.
Yes. I will also say that I really appreciate that from the TV show as well. And for listeners, they intertwine the Six of Crows, which is the duology that technically comes after the Shadow and Bone trilogy within the book series, with the actual initial Shadow and Bone series. And I actually just watched an interview with Leigh Bardugo because she did a live stream. She's the author of these books the other day. And she was saying that she wrote Shadow and Bone as her first book, and it's definitely her first book.
Yes.
It uses a lot of tropes. It's not her best work. And she definitely played into all of the typical tropes that YA plays into. And I definitely agree with you in that bringing the Six of Crows characters into the TV show makes it more interesting. But what we're doing over on our podcast is we are starting from the beginning, which is the Shadow and Bone book. And we're working our way through the entirety of the Grishaverse books from start to finish. And it's me and my best friend, Jeff. And him and I are very silly and very crazy. And we love to sing Broadway songs. And we think that the Darkling is a drag queen. So if you'd like some silly hot takes on a book series, it's great. And we started from chapter one. So even if you haven't read anything yet, you can start from the very beginning. But that's what we're up to. The Darkling is a drag queen, and I will stand by that. I will die on that.
Thank you very much for it, because I would. Oh my god, yes, yes, and also so hot. Well,
he is a spicy, smoky
drag queen. Oh, yes, absolutely, Cicero. I think you would really enjoy it.
I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in. I mean, so wait a minute. So you're saying that an author's worst book got optioned as a Netflix series?
Uh-huh. I think,
and they only got better after that.
But she's using, they're pulling from her better books. So her first three books are her like first books ever. So you have the Shadow and Bone trilogy, and then you go into the Six of Crows duology, which is like chef's kiss, moi.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Oh, it's so,
and they're pulling from that duology and her initial first worst books at the same time in the Netflix show and interweaving them. And I definitely agree that it makes it more fun to watch, I would say.
All right. Well, so I mean, the thing is that over the last like 2 years, the thing that I've read most is subtitles or captions.
So you're an expert. You'll be good on this.
Yeah.
Right. So the show seems like it's right up my alley. So.
It's perfect.
It's your favorite genre.
Right.
Netflix.
My favorite genre of book adapted into television.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, let's start talking about podcasts instead of shows a little bit, shall we? I would love to do a little time traveling and learn where both of you started listening to podcasts. What were some of the first ones you found, and what got you into listening?
Well, so I think for me, the first thing that got me into listening was video games to podcasts. And so I think by nature of what they are, video game podcasts were probably my very first podcasts listen. In fact, I think the very first podcast I ever listened to is one that was called Three Red Lights. It was the IGN.com Xbox podcast. It was tongue-in-cheek named Three Red Lights because of the Xbox 360's proclivity to break, overheat and break.
Oh, no.
And you would get three red lights on your console to let you know that your console was broken. That podcast, the original host of that podcast had left IGN, and it was taken over by a guy named Ryan McCaffrey, who is actually a good friend of mine, who turned it into Podcast Unlocked, now paying homage to the achievements that you get when you play Xbox games. When you actually accomplish something, it says achievement unlocked. So now Podcast Unlocked is what it's called now. And they've celebrated 500 episodes now. So,
wow.
Yeah. Congratulations to Podcast Unlocked. And so I started listening to video game podcasts. So I listened to Podcast Unlocked and then Podcast Beyond, which is IGN's PlayStation podcast. And then went the independent route and started listening to a podcast that mixed two of my favorite loves, music, specifically hip-hop music, and video games. It was called, or it is called, Gamertag Radio, hosted by some very, very good friends of mine, Danny Pena and Paris Lilly and Peter Toledo. They are incredible podcasters, incredible grinders and hustlers. And they have now are, Danny started podcasting in 2005, with, Gamertag Radio, and they are now over 1000 episodes.
Mind blowing.
Yeah. And they're incredible. In fact, right now, as you're listening to this, even if it's 3 years in the future, in Times Square right now, Danny Pena is on two billboards for Latin Heritage Month in Gamertag Radio. So, yeah, congratulations to Danny. So that is the beginning of my podcast journey, and it's incredible and wonderful to watch people watch the maturation, not only of myself, but of the people that inspired me to get into the game and gave me great knowledge and information along the way.
That's incredible.
Now, Sergio, how long have you actually been podcasting? Because I don't think you said that.
Hold on now.
That's the next question.
Patience.
Most people listen to podcasts before they pick up a microphone.
Yes.
So calm down now.
Okay, getting excited over here I'm doing the math in my head. I was like, how long has he been podcasting? He's saying all these numbers and I must know.
Well, first, let's hear how you started listening to podcasts and then we can learn some more information.
Yes, I feel like my podcast journey won't sound quite as fancy as his, but here we go. But so I started listening to podcasts about 4 years ago. Because my therapist knew that I was lonely and I wanted to have friends in my ears, like this show. And so she suggested that I listen to one of her favorite podcasts called Shit Town. And all right. I started listening to that and I said, this is not for me. And so I was in the podcasting app, but I had no idea. Like, I'd never even heard of podcasts before, but I was like, you know what? My therapist Anne tells me that I should be doing this. So you know what? It's worth a shot. It's not hurting me. And I was thinking, like, what things do I like? So I searched Harry Potter in the podcasting pod app on Apple Podcasts, and I found this podcast called MuggleCast, which is pretty much one of the top three Harry Potter podcasts out there right now. And it's between three hosts, Andrew, Eric, Micah, and Laura. And they've been going they just celebrated their 15th anniversary now.
Wow.
They've been out there a long time. They started before all the movies from Harry Potter were finished coming out.
Yeah, so, MuggleCast was one of my first podcasts.
I love them so much. I've actually become like pretty close friends with Eric since then. He visited me like 2 months ago now. But he's an absolute sweetheart. But those people made me realize how much I loved being part of the Harry Potter sphere again, because it was something that I kind of dropped when I went to college just because I was so busy. But I was super into Harry Potter when I was in high school and middle school, because that's when the books were coming out and the movies were coming out. And the last movie came out the summer before I graduated high school. So I was like in the thick of it for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so I started listening to a bunch of different podcasts and also acquired a bunch of other non-Harry Potter related podcasts, some of which were the first ones included. Throwing Shade, which is now Attitudes, which if you hadn't listened to that and you need a laugh, by God, what a fabulous podcast. They've also been around for like 16 years or something. I don't know them personally. They're way out of my league in that category. But fabulous again. But as of right now, I probably listen to about 45 different podcasts every week. Just because I have, like, you know how people have the TV on in the background of their home? I have podcasts on in the background of my home. So some podcasts I listen to just kind of as background music, but there are definitely some that I really, really listen to. And yeah, that's kind of where I stand right now.
Amazing. I can't wait to hear what some of those are in a future question. So yes, calm down. Questions. Don't answer them yet.
They exist. I have definitely been accused of jumping the gun millions of times. So this would not be the first time.
We're only at two today, so you're doing great.
Okay, good.
All right, so now we can find out what caused Cicero to pick up his microphone and start a podcast.
What started my journey as a podcaster was... you know, as it's a tale as old as time, right? It's serendipity and a need to express your opinions. It actually happened as a result of listening to Podcasts Unlocked, right around the time that the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 were set to release right around that time. There were lots of conversations about new games. Clearly, for those people that haven't figured this part out, I'm a big, big video gamer.
What? No.
So, yeah, I know. It's bizarre because I haven't talked about it at all. There was lots of conversations about games that were on the horizon. And there were conversations that were being had in the podcast that I was listening to, but I didn't think that, and as a result of listening to my two favorite podcasts, I wound up listening to other podcasts, but I felt like they were missing nuance in the conversations that they were having about certain things. And quite frankly, a lot of the conversations that were being had were being had by a bunch of white dudes in a room. And you know, nothing wrong with white dudes in a room sitting around talking about things that they love. But what it doesn't do, though, if you're not a white dude, not in a room, listening to people talk about things that you love, you realize that there's a chance for a perspective to be missed. And there were times where I felt like those perspectives were being missed. And where the serendipity comes into play is on the launch day of the PlayStation 4, both Sony and Microsoft decided to add a component to their consoles, to their software, that allowed the gamers to start streaming on the service Twitch. And I wanted to see what Twitch integration was all about on the launch day of the PS4. And I happened to see this guy playing NBA 2K, whatever it was, in 2012 or 2013. 2012, I think, when those consoles released. And this guy was playing online, and he was playing with my favorite team, the Knicks. And he was, you know, engaging with all the community really well. And so it's like, oh, wow, you know, I feel a kinship to this guy, and looked him up, and it showed that he was writing for a blog. And I contacted him, and found out that this guy's name was Khalif Adams. So Khalif and I started a friendship, and I started writing for his blog. And about a month later, we both were sitting on the phone, and we were saying, hey, you know what? I think I want to start a podcast. And I said, I want to start a podcast too. And so we decided to start a podcast, and thanks to my good friend Khalif, who had a background in radio, had done some radio stuff before, he helped me to get my voice and to kind of really shepherd me along in terms of getting stuff set up. And in early January of 2013, He and I recorded the first episode of what became the award-winning Spawn on Me podcast on our, well, him on professional or on, like, I think he had a snowball on his microphone, and me on my Xbox microphone and headset that came with my console using Skype. And yeah, and so Spawn on Me now is 8 years old. Almost 9 years old, and has I think almost 400 episodes on, under its belt.
Amazing. Wow. So now that's, you have your answer.
Yes, I do. And that's a lot longer than I have been podcasting. And I do not have any awards, but I have the pride.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the award.
Hey,
that is the
you
award.
Have more than three episodes, which therein means that you are doing fantastic. And you're here, which clearly only the best podcasters are on my show.
Obviously.
So
obviously.
Now that you're here, you're amazing. But tell me how you picked up your microphone.
So, oh, hold on one second. Sorry, something's been talking in my throat. Starting over. So I got into actual podcasting because I was listening to MuggleCast, and kind of like you, Sergio, I heard the conversation that they were having. Unfortunately, I guess kind of I am a basic white person who is not really giving into the ethnicity quota, but hey, you know, I had opinions. I had opinions to be heard.
They're valued.
Yes.
So I found myself really wanting to be part of that community. And also during that time when I started listening to MuggleCast, I had some pretty bad depression. And being able to have a set of quote unquote friends that I couldn't really find in the real world at that time was just so life-changing for me in a positive way. And I actually was looking on the MuggleNet website, which is like the OG Harry Potter fandom website. And I found out that they had a new show coming out called Beyond the Veil, which is in reference to in the fifth book when Sirius Black falls through the veil to death and what happens beyond that. And it was dealing with mental health issues through a Harry Potter lens. And so I was able to guest on that show, because guesting on MuggleCast is just like not a thing. They're very, 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 very particular about how they and who they get on. So that's that. But I was able to guest on that show. And through that, I realized, wow, I really love this. And I love being able to possibly be the friends that someone else is listening to and kind of break their loneliness as well. So I went on to join MuggleNet and then joined their Fantastic Beasts podcast, which I don't know if any of you, either of you are privy to the Fantastic Beasts news that just came out on Wednesday, because we got a title for the new movie that is coming out, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Ooh.
Yes. I have feelings about that.
I hope we're going to learn why he transitioned from the very nice tight pants to the robes.
I am really hoping so, too, because Jude Law is Yumbledore.
Yes.
And it just doesn't translate into like the Richard Harris version. I'm sorry. It's just,
it doesn't.
It's too stark.
It lets his little wizards breathe.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Especially if you get kind of saggy, it makes things a little bit more fresh under there. But yes. I was able to join the Speak Beastie podcast, which is the name of their Fantastic Beasts podcast, as a part-time host. And then from there, I met my current co-host and best friend, Mel. And her and I started Puffcast together. And then from there, I actually met one of my other best friends, Jeff. And he and I started Into the Fold together, which is only 9 episodes in now. So that's a pretty new podcast.
All
and
right.
we're coming up on 50 episodes somewhere on Puffcast, so still not super old or anything.
That is an accomplishment.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's
and
amazing.
We don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
We'll
I know there are a lot of pandemic podcasts out there that have started and now they're kind of goodbye.
Right.
But yeah, that's not our plan for either one. Both of us, both podcasts, we have, because I help run them, have Excel spreadsheets well into the year for 2022. So don't you worry. We have plans.
Nice.
We're not going anywhere.
That's amazing. Yeah. Planning is so important to get that future and keep that going. I know that there have been a lot of pandemic podcasts as people have, you know, had to restrict different things. And I love how many there are that have come out and how many that are sticking around, because I've seen a lot of almost therapy coming from these creative projects that people never realized that they had the desire for. And it's been really interesting to kind of see the growth in what's going on in yourself and in the world to be able to say, oh, maybe I can do a podcast. And that makes me super happy. So even if it hasn't been around for a lot of years, it's still valid. It's still good. And the podcast that somebody starts tomorrow is just as amazing as the one that started 13 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think my thing too, like I said, it bringing that, relieving people of that sense of loneliness. If I can make one person feel as though they have friends, or kind of distract them from being lonely, or be the friends in their ears, essentially. I mean, your podcast title is very good for my mission statement here. I'm really just exuding it. Yes. If I can do that, then I think that's great. The best things that we get from our podcast and that I've gotten from listeners is random listeners who I've never met in my entire life and I have no idea who the hell they are. They write like a heartfelt email saying how the podcast has helped them in a dark time or whatever. And that is literally my favorite thing. I love that so much.
Ugh.
Well, then you've done it, you know, to get those messages and be able to be able to connect with someone who connected with you, it's now being reciprocated. And you know, one of the things that I think is the painful part about being a podcaster is that a lot of times you feel like you're yelling into the wind.
Yes, you don't know who your listeners are. I'm that crazy person who wants to know the name and age and everything of every single listener who listens to me. Like, so I want to be
friends with you. And when you get those messages, they mean everything. Everything. Because as angsty, as nervous, as unsure of yourself as the person who's writing the thing that's, you know, or they've been, you know, galvanized into and inspired into writing and leaving a message to you, as angsty and as nervous as they are, we are exactly the same.
100%.
Exactly the same. So please, if the things that you know, your favorite podcaster has, or even not your favorite podcaster, even, you know, some marginal podcaster that has inspired you to respond to something that they've done, if they made you feel angry, right? You know, let them know, reach out to them and let them know. Even if it's something that may not necessarily be construed as the most positive thing. the fact that you're listening, and the fact that you're willing to give feedback is, at least in my head, is always welcomed.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Same. Exactly.
100%. 100%. So pause this podcast right now. Wait. Not yet. Come back.
Okay.
So open up Twitter or your email box and send a message to somebody to a podcaster that has made a difference. One of your favorite podcasts, one of your favorite people, any of that, send them a good note and then come back to this episode and finish it. Because of course it's very difficult to listen to people talking and type words and not construe them and like mix them up. And it would be really confusing if we said things like Gryffindor and Xbox and Discovery and Janeway and things, and you included them in your email, and then they weren't words coherent that you meant to do.
or make your own, it's not a word salad, it's like a word jambalaya.
Ooh.
Make your own word fancy jambalaya, and then make that make sense and send that away.
Yes. Also good. Good option. All right. And now that you have sent a love letter out into the universe, now you can come back and we can take a little pause from the past. And I'd love to know in the present, if you picked up your phone or whatever device you listen to your podcasts on and you hit play in your podcast app of choice, what episode of what podcast would start coming through the speakers?
It would be the El DeBarge episode of the Quest Love Supreme podcast.
Okay.
El DeBarge is the most famous brother from a family of singers from Detroit named DeBarge. You may know them from a song called Rhythm of the Night. In the heat of the rhythm of the night, that's all we're going to sing so you don't get strikes.
Yes.
and then there was another song in a movie called Short Circuit.
Yes.
Johnny Five, Who's Johnny? That's DeBarge.
Okay.
DeBarge is a very, in the R&B community, a very, very famous and seminal group. And El DeBarge, arguably the most important member of that group, interviewed by Questlove Supreme. Questlove is the drummer with the afro in the Jimmy Fallon band. The Jimmy Fallon band is The Roots. The Roots are a phenomenal hip-hop group from Philadelphia. Well, Questlove has a podcast that has himself, a few other people that are in various industries, as well as someone named Fonte. Fonte is also a rapper and a singer. Fonte is part of one of my favorite groups called The Foreign Exchange, which, you know, we're talking about podcasts around the internet. The Foreign Exchange is a group that was created by Fonte, who was a rapper and a singer, and Nicolay, who's a DJ and producer. They made their first album entirely over the internet before they had seen each other.
Wow.
So they had produced the entire album, and it was released before they had met each other. The power of the internet is incredible. Fonte is a really, really, really important person, I think, in hip hop and in R&B, new age or R&B. And he is also on the show. And it is just a fantastic show. Long form interviews with people that are not only important to the panelists, but important to the people that are listening to the show, such as myself. And that is the latest episode that I'd be listening to, El DeBarge.
Amazing. Perfection. All right, Juliana, what about you?
So once again, I come with the less esteemed answer.
Hey, no, hold on now. This question is for those quote unquote less esteemed answers, because I want to know what you're actually listening to, not the NPR and, you know, Huffington Post podcast with those. But give me your dirty deep. Is it Real Housewives or?
No. I've actually, the last one I was listening to is The Tripod, which is the Try Guys, which I don't know if you know them from BuzzFeed days.
Yeah.
But they used to be on BuzzFeed and now they're their own conglomerate. And I can't remember exactly what their conglomerate is called, but it's the four of the guys. You got Eugene, you got Keith, you got Ned, and you got Zach. And they have their producer, Miles, on. Miles Bonsignore. And he... the four of them just kind of like shit around in their studio and talk. And the title of the most recent episode that I was listening to this morning is called Keith Got Too Stoned at the Airport. And... they were talking about along with his experience of taking like 100 milligram THC gummy, apparently is a lot. I don't know. I don't take THC gummies.
Yes, I will say definitively, without incriminating anyone, that is a lot.
So they were talking about that and just other random things. They just talk about whatever's on their mind. And these guys are just so funny. And if you've ever seen their videos, you would know they just have the perfect banter between the four of them because they've known each other now for probably like 10, 15 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And they try the most ridiculous things. And they actually have their own cooking show that's going to be coming out on the Food Network.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Their version of what they have this cooking show called Without a Recipe. And they challenge all four of them to make said baking item without a recipe. And let me just tell you, none of them know how to cook. Not a single one.
They are not professional chefs in any way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They pretty much get judged on, like, one time they did pies and the judging criteria pretty much is it a pie? Is it edible? And those are like the two judging criteria that they are being based off of them. And I will tell you, at least one person did not make a pie.
at least one.
At least, yeah. I can't remember if there was more than one, but they've done a lot of those episodes on their YouTube channel, but this is their podcast. And it's just a fun time to listen to. And it's like you have a set of goofy guy best friends just hanging out with you. And I love it.
Yeah, the energy between all of them is just so... You can tell that they really like each other as people, which... Or they're really, really, really good actors. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Probably the former.
I would say so. Yeah. I feel like at this point, this would be a really big, long game for them.
Right.
To be pretending this long.
Yeah. Amazing. Great, great choices. I adore both of your answers. And now we are here to the final podcast-related question. And I want to know what your favorite podcasts are. Yes, you may have more than one. And why do you love them so much?
Right. So my favorite podcast has got to be, and I'm really sorry for this because it is going to be an NPR.
It's going to be an NPR answer. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. You have fulfilled your, like, nerdiness.
Your indie podcast.
Right, right, yes. Right, okay,
yeah,
right.
And your indie podcast quotia. Quotia? Wow.
Sure,
wow. Words, allowed.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato, quotia, quota.
Yes, give me your NPR.
So it is, it's actually... Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell. Every single time I sit down and listen to that of Revisionist History, I go into it thinking, well, most of the time I go into it thinking, I don't know if I really care about this one. And I'm riveted by the end of it. And then the topics where I feel like, oh man, this is going to be amazing are just, they're phenomenal. So I don't know if you guys know about this particular podcast, but Malcolm Gladwell is a New York Times bestseller. He's written many, many different things. He is the person who coined the phrase, you're an expert if you spent 10,000 hours doing a thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you have not listened to Revisionist History, let me just tell you, I think he's in his fourth season of the show. It is, I think there's maybe 10 or 12 episodes per season, so it's really easy to sit down and digest. But the very first episode is about how golf sucks and golf courses are not only the bane of the existence of everyone, but in LA specifically, golf courses should be outlawed. He paints the most compelling argument, and it is remarkable, really, really good. So highly, highly recommend it. My other favorite podcast is is a video game NPR type podcast. So anyone who is a video game listener would know this one, and that is a kind of biting off of the success of, well, it's, you know, radio drama, but kind of biting off the success of the actual NPR podcast about the dude who may have murdered his girlfriend, Anon, who's in jail.
Oh, yeah, Serial.
Serial, right. This one is called Hunt the Truth. And this podcast is a serialized, dramatic telling of a reporter trying to find the Master Chief, the main star, the main character of the video game series Halo, who is on the run and is suspected of being a terrorist. And this reporter is hunting the truth to get to the bottom of it, because he doesn't believe that Master Chief, everyone's hero, could possibly be a terrorist. So he is going out there and he's trying to find this information. And I think that goes about 8 episodes. Each episode is 30, 40 minutes. It is remarkably well done. Very, very fun to listen to. They had 2 seasons of that. I would seriously recommend that. And then I guess my other favorite podcasts are podcasts that my friends do. Anytime there's something that pops up on The Incomparable, I love listening to the silly shenanigans that happens with how the merry-go-round breaks down over here. And then, you know, my buddies over at Gamertag Radio and my friends over at Kind of Funny Games. And, you know, there are lots of video game podcasts that I wind up sitting around and listening to whenever the mood strikes me. And also a spinoff from the comedy or from video game podcasts. There's a bunch of guys from IGN that started another podcast called The Comedy Button. And it's just like the Try Guys, a bunch of friends who get together and just pull off shenanigans. It's exactly the same with The Comedy Button. These guys just, they've been around for 5 years as well. And listening to them grow, like become going from man children to men with children that are also still man children. has been actually a privilege. So I really enjoy those shows.
Amazing. Such a good variety. And I don't know why I've never actually listened to Revisionist History, but I think that might be one of the podcasts from this show that I add to my very large queue.
Please, I know. Do. Don't tempt me, because I, like I said, I listened to like 45 podcasts already, and I want to listen to them all. I want to listen to them all.
All of them. All of the podcasts. All right. Give me your list. Maybe not all 45, but
yeah, I'll give you my top few. So my first one is this show called Allie on the Run. So I actually am a very avid marathon runner, and I love the buzz and the electricity and just the like, wow, that comes with running a race, which we haven't had much because that's an in-person race that I'm talking about. But I'm very excited because the Boston Marathon's in about 2 weeks and I will be there. So that will be fun.
All right.
But this girl, Allie, she started this podcast, I want to say probably like 5 or 6 years ago now at this point. But she was a ex-reporter for, I think it was Danskin at the time magazine. And she started this podcast because she loves running and she loves the people who do running things, who run, professionals, people behind the scenes, other people she knows who run, and just started interviewing them. And currently she is one of the top running interviewers in the podcasting space, just because she's been around so much and she's such a bubbly, friendly, fun person that she has been able to work her way into being like an announcer at the New York City Marathon because of this, and just doing a lot of things that I'm sure like 5 or 6 years ago when she started this, she would have never have envisioned for herself. But she's just such an upbeat, positive presence. And she loves, 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 loves every part of the running community. So you get like the pro runners on. But then we also had some of the people who coordinate the press from the runners from the Tokyo Olympic Games recently.
Oh, wow.
And one of the pro running, what are they called? Recruiters. That's who she had on this week, which was really exciting. But you get she looks into running in a way that as a person who also participates in running would look at it, wanting to know like, hey, where are the porta potties? Will there be gel stops along the way? Where can I drop my bag? Things like that, that the pro runners and people who are like professionals in the running podcast sphere wouldn't really ask because they're wondering about your strategy and your pace and things like that. But she is wondering, how many bathroom stops did you have to take before you got to the top of that mountain when you did that ultra marathon 2 weeks ago? And for me personally, those are the kinds of questions that I want to know too. And those are the kinds of stories you want to tell after you finish running one of these races too. Like your pace is important and your place is important, but running any kind of race or event or anything, it's a journey. Even if you just go run a mile outside, like it's a freaking journey.
Yes.
Right.
So she's really diving deep into these journeys that everyone who is doing anything running related is a part of. And she has like those big names on, like Meb Keflezighi and like Shalane Flanagan and some of these people that even non-runners may recognize. But then she has, again, the people who are behind the scenes, who even avid marathon runners and people who follow the scene don't know their names. But then you're like, oh my God, that's that guy I saw at the end of the New York City Marathon 5 years in a row. He rocks. and he's the guy handing out water bottles at the end. But he's got great stories because he's standing at the end of the New York City Marathon 5 years in a row. What has he seen? Like literally everything.
Oh my gosh.
You have to hear all that stuff. And she's just so upbeat and positive. And I love that energy so much. So even if you're not like into like running things, if you don't actually want to go outside and run, this podcast is just so much fun. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. Obviously my enthusiasm level for it is very high.
I love it. Spoiler, I will never do a marathon.
It's not for everyone. Nope. And I fully recognize that. You have to be a certain level of insanity.
Yeah. And I have chosen my insanity other places. The thought of even listening to a running podcast, if you had asked me even earlier today, I would have been like, okay. And yet now I'm kind of like, well, maybe I'll listen to it because I love the like logistics of that type of stuff. Like what a heck of a project management project to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so interesting.
Honestly, if you like to hear about project management, you should actually go listen to her most recent episode because she did interview the professional recruiter for the New York City Roadrunners. And he talked about all the things about how far in advance he has to plan things and plotting things out and sending it. It was very interesting and definitely not an easy job to have.
I am here for it. I'm definitely going to download that episode.
Yeah, it was really good. But in regards, I guess I will just shout out one more specific podcast and then I'll just give a few quick shout outs at the end. But another one that I really love is called Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byer.
Yeah, Nicole Byer.
Oh, you listen to that?
Great.
I love this. Oh, I love Nicole Byer is my favorite human in the entirety of the whole world. I love her. I saw her first on Netflix and then somehow I think I heard her on someone else's. Yeah, I did. I heard her on someone else's podcast and her voice to me is just pure joy. And her laughter
is adrenaline. It is
yes.
Like adrenaline in a voice.
I am definitely guilty of running out of listening to new podcast episodes from her because she has Why Won't You Date Me, she has Newcomers, she has best friends with Sashir Zameda.
Yes.
Those are her public podcasts. I don't pay for her. She has some behind the scenes podcasts that you have to pay for on Patreon, like her one about the 90 Day Fiance, which I don't, actually don't watch that show either, but I would listen to it. But I have already some already shows, but I definitely am guilty of searching her name in the Apple Podcast app and just listening to any random episode that she happens to have guested on for any random podcast, because she is just joy bottled up inside a person.
Oh my just goodness.
Silly fun, the most infectious laughter you've ever heard, and her whole, and she's so blunt and honest about things, and literally her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me, some of the episodes she's brought on people who have dated her and being like, why'd you break up with me?
Oh my gosh.
And she asks every guest at the end if she can remember if they would date her or not. Sometimes she forgets. She's forgotten a few times if she asked to ask them if they would date her or not. But people actually say no too. People are like, no, I wouldn't do it.
I mean, she too, by her own admission, and it's something that you'll glean within 30 seconds. She's a lot.
Oh, she's overwhelmingly a lot, but I love every second of it.
Yeah, she is a remarkably beautiful human being.
Yeah, and she also is the host of Nailed It on Netflix. So. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I recognize this name. But it's not coming. Thank you for my brain has now nailed it.
Those dots have been connected.
Yes.
That's the... The Nailed It version of her is the very edited G-rated version of her. She definitely is very explicit and just very blunt about literally everything. And I actually really respect her for that. I think it's awesome that she just talks about literally everything in a kind of matter-of-fact way. And it's been interesting, too, because that podcast now is 3 years old and she still is wondering why won't people date her, because she still doesn't have a boyfriend. And for that, I feel like I'm like, wow, I feel you real hard, my friend. Right. That's me, too. but it's interesting to have seen her grow as a person, too, because she's definitely not the same person she was 3 years ago, even just having listened to that podcast. And It's kind of like being a weird, convoluted mother to her, almost, in a way.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Yeah, that podcast, any of her podcasts, and especially Why Won't You Date Me? And then Best Friends with her best friend, Sashir, who was on SNL for a little while.
Yes.
The two of them together, when they answer advice questions from the listeners, sometimes you get some pretty wild answers out of the two of them, and it's great.
So much fun. Okay, you said you wanted to do a couple other lists.
Yeah, I'll just put two more on the Harry Potter podcasting sphere. Two of the indie podcasts that I listen to. One of them is called Care of Magical Shippers, which is all about the ship culture of Harry Potter. So, and these two lovely people, Nate and Megs, they are just, they're best friends, and you can just hear it in their voices, and they are just absolutely the most fun to listen to. And then there's this other podcast called A Very Potter Podcast, and they do Voldemort Tinder. They have Voldemort, and then they have people pretend to be Tinder matches for Voldemort because they're an improv group. And yes. I've never laughed harder in my life. It's just, if you have
people
any context for Voldemort.
So creative. Holy cow.
It is what a joy and what a treat. I reached out to them immediately and I said, I must be part of this. And they said, okay. I said, thank you. I have to be part of Voldemort Tinder.
Who would have imagined, okay, you know what? Let's take the bad guy from a YA book series and talk about him going on Tinder. Like,
oh yeah, well, they have someone who pretends to be him, and they have like five or six people in their troupe, and the other people pretend to, like, they impersonate different characters. Like, one person came in and was like an actual snake, and Voldemort was like, yes, this is for me.
Oh my gosh, wow. I love people, I love podcasters, I love the creativity that can be provided. That just makes me So happy. So flipping happy. Thank you for sharing this with me in my life. I am, I didn't even know I needed it. And now I have it.
But
and
you do.
Yes.
Those are always the best.
Right? Such it's a blessing.
Yes.
All right. So that is the last of the podcast related questions. You know what time it is. It's time for the bonus round. Audience, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire. Bonus.
Fire.
I also would love to hear your answers to my bonus questions. So tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire. Answer to share your answers to my questions. And this episode's question is very serious. And I want to make sure you take a moment to think about your answer before speak. Okay.
Oh, no. All right. Okay. I will.
What are your feelings towards pillows in your bed?
How is that even a question?
That's
people sleep without pillows,
right? So yeah, so like, where, what are we talking about here, right? Because I don't want to sleep on the seriousness of this question.
So I present it because I must always have a pillow between my knees, my neck pillow around my neck, and the proper squishiness of a pillow to snuggle with, as well as one that stays in the center of my head that then moves around. Now,
wow, this is like opulence in the pillow world.
Because I'm an adult and I can buy more pillows if I want them. Whereas my husband will randomly decide, you know what, I don't need a pillow tonight.
He sleeps without a pillow?
Sometimes,
how does that work? How does your neck not hurt?
No idea. He is very strange, but I love
him. You need a profiler to check him out.
Why are you married to this man?
Yeah. What?
This is, yeah.
I said, why are you married to this man? This is insane.
I know. To be fair, he has no problem with me having all of my pillows. So really, it's fine, except for when sometimes he does steal my pillow because he's asleep and he thinks it's his one pillow that he sleeps with, but it's fine.
Well, that's just his subconscious knowing that the choice he's making consciously is wrong.
Right. It's true. So tell me your pillow situations.
All right. So, my pillow situation is, it must be two.
I agree with that.
Two pillows, no more, no less. I prefer a big, big puffy one at the bottom, and a cooler, maybe not as puffy, but squishy, so that I can mold it and put it in the form that works best for me. But that is easily flippable, so that if it gets hot on one side, it's cool on the other side, because it is literally the other side of the pillow. But two, that is it. No more, no less.
You know, we almost have the exact same setup because I do the floofy pillow on the bottom and then the smaller, like thinner pillow on the top. But I will say my addition to that is that I put a silk pillowcase on the top one because it keeps it cooler for longer.
Ooh, ain't you fancy?
Oh.
Yes. So that way your cool side of the pillow it is cooler for longer, so you have to flip less. Plus, apparently it's good for your hair and stuff like that. I don't know about that, but it's more comfortable.
And now we have enabled Cicero to buy a silk pillowcase.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as we're done, I'm off the coals. So my partner is much like you, Kathy.
I need my throne, please.
So I thought where we were going with this was are there 37 pillows on the bed before we go to sleep that have to be thrown onto the floor?
No, see, but, you got to use the 37 pillows. Otherwise, right. It's just wasteful.
Oh, no, no, no. So my partner would have 37 pillows on the bed that would have to be thrown on the floor, and then another 12 pillows inside that she would use as her pillows. So, yeah, so she's got the two pillows under her. She's got the pillow in her legs. She's also got a body pillow that she makes like a baby bumper out mm-hmm, of, mm-hmm. and she puts one on one side. And then there is like a pillow Berlin Wall between the two of us that she like erects every night. And of course, it's not like, you know, we've got a king size bed, so we've got plenty of space.
Right.
But it's not like, you know, we have the NATO came in and divided East and West Germany equally. there is much more room on the pillow side.
Well, yeah, she needs space for all side. Of those pillows. I don't see what the problem is. I clearly, am on her side.
Clearly the problem lies with me.
Yes, right? Yes. Obviously, that, I'm so glad that you have accepted your wrongdoing and acknowledged her priority. Because,
duh.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I can also just not be in the bed, right?
Right? That's the other you option. Have a couch, I'm sure.
There you go. We did have a queen size bed. But she eminent domained her way onto my side of the bed so much that I fell off of the bed and it was really high. So I fell like 4 feet.
Oh, no.
And I woke up, and that day we went out and bought a new bed.
Nice.
Bed.
Upgraded to the king.
Yeah, I think that was her master plan.
She totally did it on purpose. I'm
yes,
here for it.
Yes,
I
yes.
already love her. And I also love both of you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Cicero at Stubby Stan, and Juliana is at Jellyanna_runs, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much, and I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.